Yes, today I'm joined by lead NBA writer, managing editor of NECSports.com, Kurt Heeren. Kurt, what's going on?
Oh, doing pretty good. How are you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Trying to maintain through this hiatus that's been thrown upon us.
Yeah, you and me both, man. I'm going a bit stir crazy, and you know, look, I mean, I'm kind of work from home anyway. I don't really go into I'm based in LA. NBC's offices are back east.
Right.
But it's different when your kids are home, man. Working from home with the kids there just makes the whole thing a lot more interesting.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a different experience, but you got the best of both worlds, though. You're still covering the NBA. You're around your family. I'm sure you love it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the great part of the job for me in a lot of ways is just that because I'm working from home, I mean, yeah, I'm traveling. Yeah, I'm going to games and doing stuff, but
right.
I'm home to take my kids to school in the morning. Like, you know, I'm able to be present for a lot of stuff and able to free up weekends to go to my, you know, I've got daughters who play travel soccer and whatever. Like, I'm able to get to stuff as a dad.
Right.
And not miss too much. And so that part of this has been great, that things are flexible enough that I can be present for my kids.
Yeah, it's like feeling like taking your kids to school. That's like a father knows that feeling. So tell us about your time at NBC. How's it been?
You know, NBC's been great to me. I've actually been there over a decade when they first kind of relaunched relaunched what they were doing with their website. They were a little behind,
right,
frankly, where ESPN and Yahoo and everybody else were.
Right.
And they built everything out off of the rock star they had / have is Mike Florio in Pro Football Talk. So they wanted to build out sort of off that format with you know, look, there's Pro Basketball Talk, there's Hardball Talk, you know, Pro Soccer
right.
Talk, all through this. And we had to modify it a little. We're not PFT. I'm not Florio. I'm not PFT. But also, like, part of what Florio and PFT is to the football marketplace
right.
was already filled when they brought me into NBC. They're like, well, what about a rumors page? And, like, everybody's going to Hoops Hype. I mean, I can build one.
Right.
I can build a rumors page for you. But, you know, is that – you're going to have to find a way to draw people away from where they're already going. And I think that existed with MLB rumors and some other stuff too. Like the wheel had already been created. So it was going to have to be something different. But we've been doing that for a decade now and, you know, helping people get, you know, trying to use that PFT model of having the stories out there, whether we broke them or not, but providing
right.
context and, they've been good to me. NBC is it's a stable place to work, which in today's world has real value.
Yes, stability is a must now, especially nowadays with this pandemic going on. Things are crazy right now.
Yeah, no, and it's gonna be hard now with the coronavirus and the hiatus in sports. There's been layoffs.
Yeah,
there will be more to come, unfortunately, around the media world on top of everything else. And that's the one thing that NBC is really they've been so stable and so good to me over the years. And I'm loyal to them for that.
That's good to hear. That's good to hear, Kurt. I'm happy for you, honestly, because nowadays jobs are cutting hours back, laying people off, like we just mentioned.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And we've had some of that.
We're
pretty extensive layoffs at Roto World because, you know, obviously fantasy sports is you know not exactly
right.
going on.
Right.
And you know, like Keith Smith, who was working for me part time, we had to I don't know if we call it furlough or whatever you want. Like, I hope to be able to bring him back as soon as I can. But this
right.
has happened. But this has happened across the board, and I wish it weren't the case. But I don't. Yeah, it's just rough right now.
Yeah, it definitely is. This season was off to a dynamic start. I mean, we were in the heart of the season, and this happened. I mean, what are your thoughts on the season about? Because I was hyped. I mean, we had the Lakers, we had the Bucks going to the East again, and we had the Clippers and the Lakers
yeah.
in the West waiting for that showdown in the Western Conference Finals. I mean, this season was rocking.
Yeah. It was such a more interesting, wide-open year in some way.
Yeah.
I mean, look, the last 2 years, and they didn't win it every year, but for the last 5 years, you've been like, all right, got to beat the Warriors, man. Like, the Warriors are the mountaintop. Can we get past the Warriors? And, you know, again, they lost a couple of those years due to injuries. I think, with all due respect to how good Toronto was last year, injuries played heavily into that.
Yeah.
But there was a target, and this year it's really different. I mean, I think the Lakers, Clippers, and Bucks are the three best teams, but all of those teams have questions, and you're like, hey, there's questions about the Bucks and how they'd respond in the playoffs, and suddenly, you know, right before the break, you're watching Boston, and you're thinking, well, I kept thinking they were a player away, but are they right now? Like, maybe? Like, you're trying to talk yourself into Boston, and maybe even Toronto a little bit, because Toronto definitely knows who they are. They don't have Kawhi anymore.
Right.
That team was winning 50-plus games and getting deep in the playoffs before Kawhi was there. Like, he put them over the top last year. But, like, that team was still really good. So I was loving the uncertainty of it. That there was – I don't know who was better between the Lakers and the Clippers. I thought the Lakers had played better. I thought the Clippers were better on paper. And I didn't know who was going to be better when they played in a playoff series. And that was assuming they got there, because there's threatening teams out there in the West. Like, there's matchup trouble teams out there in the West. Utah never quite put it together. Was Denver going to put it together? A lot of people don't believe in Denver, but I still think that they've got the pieces if things start to click. Like, I don't know. I guess how much you believe in Jamal Murray and all this other stuff. But there's a lot of interesting questions, like, that we just haven't gotten answered. And I mean, honestly, I'm not sure if they get answered now, right? Like, even if you run through the playoffs, it doesn't feel the same.
True. Very true. Yeah, back to the Celtics. Kemba Walker has stepped in immediately and helped hold that team down. Their chemistry is crazy. He stepped right in to Kyrie's spot, and they haven't really looked back. But like you said, they're day-to-day also. Like, that's the NBA, though. Like, some teams are like, I can't say, well, sometimes things like bipolar, like some things, one night you get this, next night you get that. The NBA is up and down.
I was watching they had four guys from the Celtics at the USA, going deep into the USA basketball camp and playing for the USA last year at the World Cup. Marcus was injured, and Marcus Smart was injured, didn't play as much. But you could see them starting to bond and starting to figure out, hey, Kimba, you know, the getting to know each other a little bit and getting to understand how to play with each other. And you could start to see the bonds forming. It's funny, Steve Kerr, like, walking off the court one day because he was an assistant coach on the team, was like, Brad Stevens should pay me for running his mini camps. but they were really starting to develop something. And Kemba's got, you could even sense it then. And I don't mean this as a knock on Kyrie. They're just a very different style of leadership. And Kemba's a put my arm around you, we're going in this together kind of guy, right? Like, he leads by example, and it's not that he won't use words, but he's right there in the thick of it with you type of leader and not top down. And that's just resonated with them. The ball's moving with that team again. They were really starting to find their defense again. They found, Brad Stevens puts guys in good positions, but I didn't think Daniel Tyus was going to be. I'm like, yeah, Daniel Tyus. That turns out, that guy can play. He fit right in with what they need. As a big man who fit what they needed, Jalen and Jason Tatum, both, you know, Jalen Brown, Jason Tatum, huge steps forward. Kemba fit right in. I don't know how good they were going to be in the playoffs. Gordon Hayward was starting to find a rhythm and find a role. I don't know how good they were going to be, but what I like about them going into the playoffs is what I like about the Clippers. I like versatile teams. I like teams that can say, hey, I can beat you this way. I can beat you this way. I got all these switchable guys. I got multiple guys who can go get buckets. I don't have to beat you with one way.
Right.
And, the Lakers are kind of that way, but it works because, like, LeBron and Anthony Davis are so good.
Yeah.
But I like versatility in teams, and I thought Boston brought that, and I don't know if the Bucks bring that. Like, that was going to be the test. And, you know, I guess technically we still get to see it, but it's still going to feel a little – it'll feel different if we do.
Yeah, the Bucks are basically top heavy with Giannis and Middleton. After that,
yeah.
I mean, they have some good shooters, but they're basically top heavy with those two.
What happens when you bottle up like this? And they just didn't adjust enough last year, deep in the playoffs. When you can start to take away the transition buckets and make and do a better job of keeping Giannis Antetokounmpo outside the paint, or he's going to hit some three. He can shoot better than you think. He can hit. But what's plan B? What do you go to next? And that's where I said, like, I like versatile teams. Maybe the Bucks are that team. Maybe they have evolved. And they would need, like, I think a lot for my money, so much would ride on Bledsoe. Wouldn't it? Like, they need Bledsoe to just tear it up in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Middleton's going to be good, but I think Bledsoe becomes the guy. I mean, I think Brook Lopez is going to do Brook Lopez things, but Middleton, Bledsoe becomes the guy they need to me.
He stretches the floor. They would definitely need him. They would definitely need him. Back to that Toronto team that won a championship, a lot of people forget that Kawhi did load management a lot, and they helped their place in the standings when he was out. They had a good roster with Siakam and those other players there. So they got to give credit to the whole team and not just Kawhi.
Oh, no, definitely. And I mean, we got to remember, that team was, like I said, before Kawhi got there, they were winning more than 50 games a year, being one of the top handful of seeds in the East. And you kept thinking, can they break through? But there were limitations to the versatility. When you have DeRozan on the team, it became we can take him out and we can make this more difficult. And scheme wise, Kawhi is a much bigger player. You know, with all due respect to DeMar DeRozan being an all-star level NBA player, Kawhi's just better. If Kawhi wants to get to that mid-range spot, he's going to get to that mid-range spot because he's so strong and he's got that style. But then he's going to knock it down. Like, he's just, you know, it's not just the corner threes over Embiid. It's that, and I think that this is what Kevin Durant brought to the Warriors, and you need this guy at some point in the playoffs. I can just go get a bucket, man. Give me the ball. I'm going to get a bucket. And those guys are just, at the highest level, there just aren't many of those guys.
Oh, man, you just brought back Durant to the Warriors. That was crazy. Those 2 years he came there, won MVP, Finals MVP, that was crazy. He made them unbeatable, man. When he got hurt the year before last, I think they would have took out Toronto. I'm sorry, because when he got hurt, you could tell the whole aura of the game just changed. He hit 2 threes in a row, like nonchalantly, and then a couple of plays later, you went down. It was over. But you could tell, like, the Warriors gained, like, a whole bunch of steam when he stepped into the game. I think that was a momentum shift to the Warriors, but we all know he got hurt in the rest of history. But
if he had not had that calf injury, and obviously part of that led to the Achilles, I'm with you. I think it's a different series. He's the guy who becomes the – can I be honest? I mean, I'll be honest with you. I think over the last 3 years, before he got injured, the last 2 years at least, he was the best player in the NBA. I thought he was playing better, more consistently than LeBron. I thought he was the best guy. And he's got guard handles. He's basically 7 foot with that shot over his head. So wherever you're not blocking him.
he got that little Dirk fadeaway thing going on.
Yeah, the Dirk fadeaway, he could get to the mid-range, he could hit the three, obviously he could get to the rim and draw. Like, he could just score, and he became, you know, again, I think in the playoffs you can start to scheme and limit the number one guy, and you can do things to make life difficult for your favorite couple of options and plays. Kevin Durant just blows that up. Kevin Durant becomes you limited Curry, you limited Clay, what are you going to do about this guy? And I think LeBron's been that guy for years. I think there's other guys who are like that. But Kawhi is like that. But he was the guy who just made them impossible. Because then if you started to deal with him, then you've got to help off of at some point, Clay's going to get open. There's too many weapons on there.
Pick your poison. Just pick your poison. three players that can score like 40 at ease. It's crazy.
And let's be honest, Andrew Wiggins is going to have to prove to me he can beat that threat.
Very true. Teams want to attack him on both ends of the floor. Because I think they're going to leave him open than Clay and Steph any day of the week, any game. That's like an easy choice. You know, he wants to use his ability to get to the game, get to the rim and slash, and see, like, show off so teams are respected.
I'm curious how he responds to this and how he does in this setting. That was an interesting gamble by the Warriors. We'll see how it plays out.
Very true. Back to the Lakers-Clippers matchup. I think on paper, it's obvious the Clippers are better. But, you know, they got to play on the floor. They got to play the game. But the Clippers are up 2-1 in that series before the hiatus came on. But I'll have to take the Clippers in the 7-game series. I mean, they have enough bodies to throw at LeBron James. They have Paul George. They have, of course, Kawhi, Patrick Beverley. I mean, they're too deep off the bench. They just picked up Moreau. I mean, they are deep. They're deep. The Clippers are
And they let's talk about a team who can beat you a lot of different ways. It was interesting. They lost that last game between those two teams in a close game.
Yeah.
I was there. That what was interesting is you're watching LeBron hunt out and destroy Lou Williams, who just said, look, Lou Williams can't defend LeBron James.
Too small.
There's nights where you leave LeBron Lou in because he's just so hot on offense that it's good that he wasn't that guy that night.
Right.
But I'm watching that thinking he's getting torn up, and I'm like, and I'm thinking to myself, Doc's going to stick with this tonight. He was pretty clear after Monday, like, he's going to ride this tonight.
Right.
If this were a playoff game, he would not have ridden that way. Like, I think that this was more an experiment. This was him testing some stuff out more than going with that, which is, honestly, their closing lineup most nights. They put Lou out there because most teams can't exploit it the same way. I think they lived with it in that game in a way that they would not have to live with it in a playoff game because, like you said, they come back to – they are so versed. They're just so deep with good players that they can roll out so many different looks to bother you. And what makes them dangerous, again, like you said, against LeBron, they can roll out so many defenders on LeBron that is helpful. But Anthony Davis will have to have a monster series because he's the guy who's the matchup nightmare.
I think he'll play at the four. I think if they put Anthony Davis at the four more, I think he'd be more versatile on the floor and create more than at the five. I think that would definitely give the Lakers an edge. But like you said,
I think if you go small with Davis at the five, it forces – you can do it for stretches because the Clippers will then probably counter. They'll take Zubac or the bigs off. And, look, I love Trez. Montrezl Harrell is going to get my sixth man of the year vote.
Yeah.
He can't guard Anthony Davis because he's not going to win that battle. So I think that Davis becomes the matchup nightmare for the Clippers. But, again, the advantage of having Paul George and Kawhi Leonard is I don't have to match up with Davis all game long. If I can put Kawhi on or Paul George on Davis and slow him in the fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just that is such a great test match. By the way, Doc Rivers is an underrated X's and O's coach. But Doc Rivers is a smart coach when it comes to this stuff. I don't know that he gets enough credit from casual fans for being a really clever strategy coach.
Yeah, he definitely is. Also, some people might laugh, but they can put Patrick Beverley on Anthony Davis for a couple plays at least and down the stretch. Because, you know, Patrick Beverley, he goes at whoever he's guarding.
He's just such a pest that you can get away with. You know, you can't do anything.
Not for long stretches, Joe.
You can't cover LeBron cover LeBron or Davis long term.
Yeah, not long stretches.
You could do it short term. Short term, he can be enough of a pest.
And yeah,
he's the kind of guy who eventually gets under somebody's skin and makes them do something stupid. So, I live here in Southern California. I got most of my friends are Laker fans.
Right.
And they hate Patrick Beverley, and then they're like, I'd love to have him on the Lakers, though. I hate him. God, I love him on my team.
Yeah.
He's
that guy. You love to hate, but yeah. Yeah, man. The Clippers can switch everything. That's the scary thing about them in the playoffs. That's why you can't bet against them in the playoffs. They can switch everything. And that's a problem on the other end. I mean, like, I want to see this mess up in the Western Conference Finals bad.
I do too. I don't care about the lack of stuff. Like, that 7-game series to me, where both of these teams are really motivated.
Yes.
And now, look, LeBron was playing heavy minutes this year, and I'm never going to doubt LeBron because he's a physical freak of nature that he's still doing this at 35. But there was people around the league like, man, that's a lot of minutes. Are they going to rest him a little down the stretch when they get the one locked up to make sure that he's fresh for the playoffs when he's got to play? He's fresh now. Kawhi Leonard, plenty fresh now. Like, these guys would come in, if they can get their legs back under them, this is going to be healthy, rested guys. And I'm curious, in whatever format the playoffs might take, the games will be a little bit condensed. They'll be a little bit tighter together. And I'm curious if by the end, the fact that Kawhi and LeBron and stuff got to keep their legs fresh means it helps veteran teams, for example. I'm saying just because those guys all got to rest their legs and now they can hit it hard for a short period for a couple months.
Yeah.
Or if you're condensing all these games, you're having guys play every other day through the playoffs, which wasn't, especially the first round, wasn't always the case. Is by the time you get to the conference finals and finals, are their legs a little tired? Are the veterans' legs a little more tired because they're not quite getting the same rest? I don't know the answer to that question. And like with younger teams, I'm really, that's one of those things that I think will be interesting to watch because it kind of depends on what the playoff format looks like, but I don't have an answer for that. I'm really curious to see how this format ends up impacting young versus old and what kind of players thrive in it.
Yeah. We all know that game scrimmages or practices for NBA teams get very intense. So that won't be an issue when the NBA does resume eventually without fans, because especially if they're playing for a championship, all that competitive spirit is going to come out and they're going to give their all. We're going to see some good games. Might be quiet, hear a lot of cussing, but we're going to see some good games.
the guy that's bleeping the courtside mic could be really busy. You get that as like a football game. You get that at every sporting event where all of a sudden there's like that second of quiet where you're like, said something. Like they got to hit it. Like the guy in the booth had to hit the 7-second button. Like that guy could be busy. I think it'd be fascinating, though, because, again, NBA teams rely on hand signals because they don't expect that they're going to be able to be heard in the arena or whatever.
Right.
They have a whole system for dealing with this because they just expect not to.
Yeah.
Going to be able to be heard now.
man.
If you could, and guys start calling out the other teams, hey, Doc held up a fist, that means floppy or whatever. The call. You're like, it's going to be fascinating to hear a little more of the trash talk. And by the way, I just think as the NBA works to get young, keep the younger, get more younger viewers and get those people involved, whether it's your streaming or whatever, providing that level of intimacy, like right now, we mic'd the coach. Yeah. And then you censored him to the point where it's like, play harder, guys. It's all kind of cliche.
Right.
Let some of that stuff through. I don't expect you to show me the play design before the out of timeout.
Right.
But let some of that trash talk get through. Let some of that edge get through, because that's the stuff we want to hear. That's the stuff that I think as a younger fans, because they get that kind of intimacy from celebrities in general online.
Right.
But I think that they want to feel, even if that's a little polished, they want to feel that in the broadcast, and it's just not there right now. It's a little too sterile.
Yeah, true. There's going to be a whole bunch of whistles and cussing. I can't wait, though.
Yeah, can they treat it like the Jordan doc? Can we have, like, one channel where we just don't block that
Jordan
stuff
doc.
Out, man?
Yeah,
it was just
Jordan
one channel
doc.
Where we're letting everybody cuss, man.
I love the Jordan doc from memory, man. They got the sister version on ESPN and the sister version on ESPN, too. I say on the first one, the sister, uncensored. This is one of the best documentaries ever watched. They let everything fly. You see everybody cussing. Oh man!
And I think I'm glad they did that, because it really does. Look, man. Anybody who's been in any, I was about to say high school locker room, frankly, junior high locker room, and up.
Yeah.
Cussing happens a lot.
especially when you're playing. Yeah, your competitive spirit gets flowing. Like, you just let it out.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, I think that's just part of it from a young age, and you're, you know, you just come to expect it. And so if it were all sanitized, you'd be like, I don't know. So I'd like that they've left some of that in. And I think the best part of that's just been that stuff and the Andy Thompson, the guy who got the access back in 97, 98. Like that original footage is just the best stuff. The stuff we haven't seen where you're like, inside some of that stuff that we haven't seen before.
It definitely is. One thing that we didn't really talk about, that people don't talk about, that wants the season to continue, is the Toronto Raptors, because they want to prove that the championship wasn't a fluke just because they had Kawhi Leonard. And everyone says it's because of Kawhi. They want to prove that we did this as a team. He helped, but we're still a team. We're still the champions. Yeah. We want to defend it. And I think they'll feel some kind of way if the season canceled. I know they want it to continue. I know they do.
Yeah, I really do, too. No, I really want to. Look, you know what? They got guys, and I think Nick Nurse gets a lot of credit for developing a system where guys were comfortable doing this. I mean, Pascal Siakam, lose what Kawhi Leonard had, but Pascal Siakam stepped up this year, right? Like, he really stepped into that scoring role. He's not Kawhi yet, but he stepped up into that role huge.
Yeah.
Obviously, they still got Kyle Lowry. Marc Gasol still just plays really smart basketball. And then they've got other guys. Fred VanVleet's had a better year. Norman Powell has come out. Like, Norman Powell's just rocked it. Like, if you haven't watched a lot of Raptors game, Norman Powell, former Bruin, I believe. You see, like, Bruin, if I'm correct. Like, he's just knocked it out this year.
True.
It's Norman Powell just really stepped up. So I've been really impressed with their depth as a team. And I think the advantage they have, like, there's just not a lot of continuity in the NBA, right? Like, guys come, guys go. And we don't think of them as a team with continuity because Kawhi left. But they are. This is still largely the same core of the team that's been there for a few years.
Yeah.
And that continuity lets them be a little deeper in the playbook, have a little more comfort level. And I, you know, again, they're not as talented as the Bucks, I'm not even sure that they're as talented as the Celtics, but yeah, I'm with you. I think that they become a really dangerous playoff team.
They really do. They really do. And shout out to Masai Ujiri. He's a genius. He's a genius GM. I love him when he's with the Denver Nuggets. And he got him from there.
So smart, yeah.
He is. He really is.
He's one of those guys who just sees things fitting. The way he builds a team chemistry-wise, like a lot of it's one thing to slap together fantasy basketball all-star teams and like, hey, we can make this work. He's really thought through the positioning and the chemistry and how this, and they've set up a network there where, and a system there where they really are good at developing talent and filling in those rosters, which is what, I mean, that's how the Spurs stayed on top forever, right? Like, they kept drafting guys, and then, hey, we're going to draft Kawhi in, I want to say, 13, wherever that was, in the team, or traded for him on draft night, but I mean, guy drafted some teams. So we're going to find Manu. We're going to find Tony Parker. We're going to find guys at the bottom of the draft who can help us.
Yeah.
And that's a skill. That just finding those guys and developing those guys, that's an organizational mandate from on top that comes with finding the right talent and then knowing how to develop it,
It's a gift. Yeah, it's a gift.
Not every team does it. There was all this buzz this week about Earl Watson saying, man, I really wanted to draft Jason Tatum. And, you know, Jason Tatum didn't fall to the Suns that year because he wouldn't have. The Celtics loved him, and they didn't let him go all the way to four. And all I kept thinking through part of that was, if Jason Tatum goes to the Suns, is he Jason Tatum right now?
Is he
the same player if he's in Phoenix where they've gone through a few different coaches and a different systems and a new GM as opposed to the stability in Boston and then a good development program under Brad Stevens? Like, I'm not sure that he is.
I don't think so. Boston has Danny Ainge. I don't think so.
No.
Danny Ainge held him to that war chest, but Danny Ainge will make moves when you have to. So. I don't think so. And speaking of the Spurs, they're in danger of missing the playoffs for the first time since Tim Duncan's rookie year. What do you think about that? That's crazy. They haven't missed the playoffs since then. That's ridiculous.
He's about to go into the Hall of Fame. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's 22 years in a row. That's like,
crazy.
Yeah, the anti-Kings. That's just amazing to think about. But not just having bad year there, right? Like just a fluky year or something where you just like, I mean, that teams kind of are really great for a few years and we build that level of consistency. I mean, they won 5 titles.
Yeah.
It's not like, but I mean, they won 50 games.
Yeah.
Most of those years, and they were just it's unbelievable how consistent they were. And part of that was Duncan and Popovich in the system. But I mean, they again their ability to develop and find talent. They've reached the end of that now. They finally, you know, look, the hard pain of rebuilding is coming.
Yeah.
And you know, I trust that they'll be able to do it. I trust that they'll be able to build back up. But losing Kawhi throws the a couple years back really threw the continuity into the future off. Like they don't get to keep building around Kawhi. It's now they've got to go find another one of those guys, and those players are hard to find and develop. So it's going to be a few years. There's going to be actual rebuilding in San Antonio, but their run was
remarkable, crazy.
The best sustained run in an NBA history. I mean, they won titles from 99 to 2014. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, you're right. And I think DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge will be on the move soon. I think LaMarcus will go back to Portland. I think he wants to go back to Portland and finish there with Lillard, Damian Lillard and McCollum, because they need help. They have a ceiling. And now the West is more deeper right now. LeBron got AD with him. They need all the help they can get.
If Portland's going to win, they've got some, and I don't know if it'll happen this summer just because the way the cap is, but also because everything's going to be weird this summer now. But there's a shake up needed there, whether it's DeRozan or, LaMarcus Aldridge said he'd be willing to go back there. Like, they need to find, they're going to have to find some way to improve that roster because what it is now, I love McCallum. Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard is my favorite player to watch in the league. I don't think he's the best player.
But
if I'm going to plunk down money to watch somebody, I'll watch Lillard. He's just entertaining as all. But with those two guys in the backcourt, you're going to have matchup issues in the playoffs defensively, and so you're going to need really specific defenders on the wing and stuff that they've just never had. And I'm not sure that they're going to get, but I think that they know what the model is. Hey, I need a wing defender who can shoot some threes. Well, 29 other teams are desperately looking for a wing defender who can shoot threes. Those guys are hard to come by now.
True, very true. Yeah, Adam Silver told me he's going to make his decision in the next couple, 2 to 4 weeks. They're ready to get this season started. Because we all know if they don't play, it's going to be a big financial impact on next year's collective bargaining agreement. So they got to play. It's a whole lot of money on the table. They don't want to lose. That's why he's extending this into June. They're going to make this happen.
They're more, if you talk to people around the league, and I think this is sort of starting to dawn on players, but with management side, they talk more about next year. We play out this year, and ESPN and TNT get their money in. Whoever gets crown champion, fine.
Right.
They're more concerned about the long-term, if they skip this season – and you don't start playing, because they're not going to play till there's no way they start next season before December at this point.
Right.
Just because they want to get – they want the most amount of games with people in arenas as possible. And in places like California, New York, I'm not sure that happens. And maybe in other parts of the nation too, but in certain parts of the nation, I'm not sure that happens in December.
Yeah.
But if you start in December, you get more games with them than if you – more home games with people in the stands than if you start in October.
True.
So they're going to start late, and they're going to try to make as much – and I think they're going to play a full 82, and they're going to try to get this financial ship righted.
Yeah.
But I think you're going to hear – I'll tell you the two-word phrase I think you're just going to hear a lot of now. It's cap smoothing. I think that the thing that they blew off, that the union kind of blew off the last go-round that led to the cap spike, and Kevin Durant – a previous conversation about Kevin Durant ending up with the Warriors and the TV money caused the cap spike. You're not going to see that this year, and it's less about the spike that goes up when revenue starts to ramp back up, and it's more about this year's dip. I mean, that would just mess with teams and players' ability to make money and stuff. guys who signed, Ben Simmons, I think, agreed to the, you know, his contract extension, but it doesn't technically kick in for the next deal.
Like, yeah.
You think he wants the cap to drop? Like, no, there's a whole lot of people. There's a whole lot of people who want to see that thing. It's going to dip a little, but
yeah.
They want to see it smoothed out a little, as opposed to the roller coaster that would be if you just tried to ride it as it is. I think that the league doesn't want that, and I think that the players kind of learned they really don't want that this time around.
You know how they could make up ticket sales, though? This might be a good idea. We might see this, actually. Because of the social distancing, they might, like, take ticket sales and, like, cut them in half, meaning it would be two seats between each stand for social distancing. That'll make ticket prices go up. They could recoup some of those prices like that. That might be a bad idea.
No, I think it's possible. By the way, I think that they're going to try everything. The chief marketing officer of the Bucks had an interesting. He was at some virtual sports convention, and he said something really interesting, which is, "Hey, we're considering, like, can we put in virtual seating? Can we have people at home in 3D wearing their 3D Samsung gal? You know."
Yeah,
the league has done this. Can we start to really sell that as a seat now? Like, hey, you'd be right here, or have, you know, or have your face there, and have the crowd noise from these fans at home
right.
Typed. Like, they're thinking about reinventing that fan experience in a
right.
way, in a broad way, because this is just torn things up. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how they do it. I think you're right, though. I think you add in the social distancing, and it's supply and demand, right? Like, if you make the supply scarce, demand is because those ticket prices go up. It'd be interesting to see what people are willing to pay to do that. So it's do the beer prices go up? Like, does the $18 beer now become $30?
I don't know, right? That's crazy. Very crazy. One good thing coming out of this is NBA said they're unlikely to hold a play-in tournament, which I didn't agree with anyway, because I say the teams that 1-8 right now earn those spots. So I don't think it would be fair to them, because anybody could lose a one. It's like an NCAA tournament game. Anybody can win. If you upset all the time in the NCAA tournament, I don't think that would be fair.
There's real mixed reaction to that. I the NBA is, I'll say this, they're desperately looking for a way to get some games in before the playoffs, whether it's a play-in tournament, whether it's bringing everybody back and playing 5, 10, whatever, regular season games.
Yeah.
Not enough. I mean, I don't want to say it wouldn't shake up the standings a little, because you might see 4-5 flop or something.
Yeah.
But you're not going to see anybody catching Memphis in the West, right? Like, they're not
going to
play enough games for that. But they really don't. There's a real push not to have to jump. I think there's a concern about jumping straight into the playoffs and having those first games, A, be a little bit sloppy, but B, if you ramp the concern from everybody is if you ramp from 0 to 100 with players and there's not enough game time in there, you're risking more injury. So they're desperately trying to figure out, how do we make that work? Do we make the Warriors and the Knicks and the Hawks and whoever's got 0.0 chance of being in the playoffs come out and spend some money and play a handful of regular season games just so we can get everybody's legs under them or not? Like, I don't know how they're going to ultimately handle that, because the motivation from some of those teams and players is
– Yeah.
I tell you, when I talked to trainers, I did a story a while back talking to trainers.
Okay.
It's also Groundhog Day. 3 weeks ago? A month ago? I don't know, somewhere there. about ramping back up.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, just talking to them, teams of trainers on teams where they're playoff bound, their guys were into it. Their guys were motivated. Their guys were doing. That wasn't always the case with guys on teams not bound for the playoffs. And there was much more. Not everybody, but there were certainly players thinking, man, I'm going to treat this like the off season, right? Like, I'm going to work on some conditioning and I'm going to do this, but I am not treating it like the last month before training camp ramp up, where, you know, the playoff teams were thinking much more that way. Like, I have to keep my conditioning. I was at this level. I got to get as close as I can to that level before I go into camp. So it's going to be, I don't know how they're going to do. I don't know if you play. I don't know how they do that and make it. make it work. Plus, if you bring in all these extra teams, you make the bubbles bigger. You make bigger bubbles, add to the exposure. I'm with you. I personally think they should jump straight to the playoffs, but there's a real push not to do that.
Yeah. We're going to see. But can you imagine, like, the Warriors, I believe they had the worst or the second worst record in the NBA. Can you just imagine Steph Curry gets injured, tears the ACL in a meaningless game, playing 9 games, and they're going to make the playoffs? Can you imagine the backlash where he'd miss next year? That would be, we don't want to see that. We don't need to see anything.
Yeah, and I don't, if you're, what's my motivation for rolling out Trae Young? What's my motivation for rolling out, my star player who's not going to be on a team making the playoffs? It's one thing, I would like to get Trae Young and Clint. I don't know if Clint Capella is ready to go, but like, I'd love to see if Trae Young and Clint getting Trae Young and Clint Capella some run together. By the way, I think that's going to be a really interesting combo next season. But I think that getting that, what are you getting out of the 5 games, really? Like, thrown together like this is not that much. You know, if the season had kept going and there were teams were playing 17 games, that's a different animal in the middle of the season. That's a different animal than it is whatever this kind of revamp will be. So I'm really curious. Adam Silver is a guy who governs by consensus. He's just, I'm going to get everybody on the same page. We're all going to pull. At some point, he's just going to have to tell somebody to do something they don't really want to do for the good of the game. And maybe it's play regular season games, or it's telling playoff teams you're just not going to get these play-in games. Whatever the reason, they're going to – it's imperfect. They are choosing between bad options at this point. Yeah. Man. There's no good one.
Yeah. And then somehow there was a regular season finish. We would see coaches like Steve Kerr and Pop not say their stars. We all know Steve Kerr is not going to put – I just said he'd make it hurt, but I don't think Steve Kerr would put Steph out there, Clay out, will play already out. Like Draymond Green, he'll have them sit out. He'll have all bench players the rest of the 9 games.
If I've got a player, why am I risking this at all?
Yeah.
So, the risk-reward, I don't know how you incentivize those teams to really take those risks. You can preach – you can preach the good of the game and all that, but at the end of the day, I'm going to look out for me. And if I'm rolling Curry out there, I may treat this like a preseason game. If I've got to play Curry, he might play 22 minutes. I get him a little bit of run, but that's about it. Would I like to see Curry? I think that there are teams that are frustrated. Like, they would love to have seen what Curry and Wiggins. Let's see what that looks like together. Let's start them start to develop something and see if it works. But if you do that in the flow of the season, it's one thing. But to shut the engine off and then start it back up, it's just different.
Yeah, and it's like Portland in the West. I mean, we might not see Damian Lillard if it's a regular season. I believe they're like they're 10th or 11th right now. I believe 10th right now. They might not make up ground. So I always put Damian Lillard out there.
He's a franchise, basically. Look, Lillard would have played a lot because, I mean, they were only 3.5 games back with a fairly easy schedule. And, by the way, if you were the Lakers, that's just a team you didn't want to see. Like, you can beat Memphis is entertaining. I love Ja Morant.
Yeah.
But they're not going to threaten you.
Nah.
The Pelicans are entertaining, and Zion's a beast, and there's talent. Again, there's real talent on that roster. And it would have been fun to have Anthony Davis has got to play his old team thing. They weren't beating him. You don't want to face Damian Lillard because Damian Lillard can steal a game or maybe two. Damian Lillard, and you can go ask the Thunder about this. You may not want him to take the last shot. Get the ball out of his hand. That's a playoff tested good team. And by the way, they would have gotten Nurkic back. Probably they would have had they might. Yeah, if they're not going to play enough games to catch him, how much am I running any of those guys out there?
Very true. The Last Dance, you're doing numbers, millions of watches. Yeah. I don't blame him. I'm one of them.
Exactly. So am I.
Michael Jordan's trash talk. What do you think about it? We heard some of the things he was saying to his teammates. Oh, my God. Mike was wild. Mike was tripping.
That's like I said, that's been the best part of this thing is that they didn't hold back. I mean,
Yes.
A little, but they didn't really hold back there from how he led that team. And, yeah, man, he rode Scott Burrell. And Scott Burrell's still like, yeah, that's cool. Like, even in interviews now, like, he's like, yeah, that's cool. I'm good. Like, Michael was, let's be honest, Michael was a bit of a bully. And, like, that was how those Bulls were going to be. You were either going to be able to handle it or you weren't, and that's how Michael led. And because Michael's Michael, Michael gets to lead however Michael wants, man. Like, he's the best player ever, but at the time, you're, like, clear and away the best player in the game.
Right.
You get to do what you want to do, man. Like, you get to lead the team how you want to lead up to a point. Cause, and by the way, you can punch guys. We're good. Like, whatever it takes, man. Want to punch Steve Kerr? Want to punch Will Perdue? Fine. And, you know, like, when you're that good and all, it's just, it's amazing to watch that. The trash talk has been great, but don't you still just go through the, like, Jerry Krause's ego, and they're kind of painting Jerry Krause as the bad guy. It's fine.
Yeah.
I keep watching this thinking, if I'm Jerry Reinsdorf, the owner.
Yeah, you could have stopped that.
Aren't I pulling Jerry Krause down and going, do you know how much money this guy makes us? What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, you just sat back and let it happen. Like,
you could have stopped all this. Don't mess with the gravy train, man. Do not mess with the gravy train. Like,
crazy.
Ride that thing, because that thing is just making you boatloads of money. Don't stop it. Not just the whole league, but, like, you in particular are making more money than, you know. Why are you cutting that? Like, and I don't think today, well, it's funny, is like, I would say today that wouldn't happen, but how long did Jerry Reinsdorf stick with Garpax? So maybe it's just him. I don't know, man.
Jerry Krause, please say it. Phil Jackson is not coming back regardless. Like, you're going to break that up late. Even if they win, you got to go regardless. Like, I'm like, yo.
You got to, at some point, man, you just pull your GM aside and say, you got to swallow your ego, man. Like, just good news for you. This is working. I want Phil and MJ and everybody back. And, like, do they win in 99? Do they win two out of the next three? Maybe. Maybe they lose one in there. Who knows?
Yeah.
But, I mean, who knows how that all plays out?
Yeah.
Don't break it up.
Yeah, let them all play it on the court. Like,
it's just, it goes all Yoko on them, and there's just no reason for it.
Crazy. Speaking of the 80s, Wilson is back as his, will be back as his official basketball next season of the NBA. Welcome back, Wilson.
Yeah, it's wild. My first thought was, like, how many Brinks trucks of money did they just back up to the league? Because I don't know why else the league would. It's not like Spalding's getting out of the game. It's not like Spalding's getting out of the industry. It's kind of like there must be a financial reason for doing this.
Yeah. Yeah, there's something because of a mutual agreement. Reportedly.
Yeah. Mutual money. Yeah. But like the last time I was fired from my job, where it was mutual. You know, they're going to actually, it's 2021. It's 2 years. Like, the next season is going to be the same ball and then it'll go back.
Right.
But if you read it, like, they, the league finally sent out the press release, they're going to have to recreate a ball. Like, Wilson's top, the ball they use in the NCAA tournament, and then their evolution ball, which is what, I don't know, every one of us who plays indoor pickup anywhere plays pretty much with the evolution ball, right? Like, everybody uses that.
True.
But those are, I love the evolution balls, but they're composite leather. They are not all leather like the Spalding ball. And they said in the brand, we're going to recreate a new ball. We are going to create the, you know, we're going to work with the players because they made that mistake a few years ago in that stupid microfiber ball that everybody hated.
That was short. That was short-lived. I remember that was short-lived. I remember.
Yeah, like a couple of months. But they didn't. Part of it was that they just didn't consult with the players. Like, part of it was that the players really didn't like the feel of the ball. It didn't.
Yeah.
It didn't absorb water, so it was. It got slick at points when guys sweat on it, but also when it was dry, it was so dry that they left, like, they were putting lotion on their hands after the games, and they felt like they were paper cuts because of the way the ball. Anyway, they like they learned a lesson, man. They'll have the guys in there, but they have got they sit in there like we and Wilson are going to create a new ball that meets the basically it meets the specs of the Spalding ball. Like we're just going to recreate this ball with
right.
some minor modification, so it can
right.
be a Wilson thing. But Wilson doesn't have. I mean, there's not much, and I don't blame them because there's not much of a market for selling the $100 basketball. Like
right.
Spalding can do it because Adam Silver's name's on it, and some rich dad will buy it for his kid or whatever, and then tell him to go
yeah.
take it out to the take this out to the asphalt playground and watch it last for like two games.
Yeah.
but there's not you know there's not much market for it unless you've got the signature. It's going to be interesting to see. I don't know what Spalding's going to do if they're. I my guess is this is much like Nike and Adidas. It's not that Adidas really wanted out of the NBA game. It's Nike came in with truckloads of money and said, "Hey, we want this."
Right.
And we have a better relationship with you. And, like, I think it's one of those. Like, they just came in. I can't imagine any other reason they did this.
Yeah, well, if he, well, Wilson was already winning because he, like, as you just mentioned, they had the Crystal Ball NCAA tournament. So this
right.
is just
well,
an addition. This is a massive addition.
Most college games, and I mean, I don't cover as much. I don't go to a lot of high school games anymore, but, like,
yeah.
high school games are pretty much almost exclusively right. one of the Wilson balls. So. If they're not using the NCAA replica, they're using, you know, again, they're using the Evolution and stuff. So, like, those
yeah.
balls, like, they already own those lower levels, so they
yeah.
can really dominate the market by coming in. Hey, by the way, now we're going to have the official NBA ball with Adam Silver's signature, this all-weather fancy ball.
Yeah.
And that, now they can own that market top to bottom.
Very true.
Sure.
Unless you
want to
start
for...
playing with that unless you want to play with that FIBA ball that everybody hates.
Okay. Well, everyone who plays basketball, I know you need to have the right steel because some balls are hard, some are slippery when it leaves your hands. Got to have the right grip. So,
no,
you know,
no, players. They, I mean, the pros adjust because they kind of get it, but man, they don't
yeah.
like it. They're not fans of that ball.
True. Trevor, thank you so much for zooming on NBA panel. We got to do this again. This was a great conversation, man.
Anytime, man. This was fun.
Thank you so much. Thanks for joining me. Be safe, and hopefully we'll see some basketball soon.
Yeah, hopefully, man. I it's funny. I was joking with another writer out here like recently. I'm like, I used to like, because I live in Long Beach, and I got this commute up to Staples Center for games or whatever,
yeah.
up to Lakers facilities. I'm like, and I'd be like, oh, man, traffic. I'm like, I am never going to complain about traffic going up to Staples Center again, man.
I know. I miss covering the game so much, man. I was saying, I'm looking at my closet like, I haven't even pulled any, like, dress gear, like, what, 2.5 months now? March 11th? I'm like, this got to go.
Exactly, man. I am itching to get back, man. For lack of a better word, Karen-level complaining sometimes I would do about stuff that didn't really matter now. I think it
yeah.
puts a bunch of stuff in perspective. Like, man, like, I've got, like I said before, I got daughters who play travel soccer, and I complain, God, man, drive at half an hour, you know, 45 minutes to go watch her. Man,
yeah.
I miss it. I miss watching it. I miss being around her team and her, like what fun they were and the coach. I'm like,
right.
man, I don't care where the next games are. I'm not missing one forever. Like,
I know. When NBA does come back, a lot of people don't show how much they missed it. We all missed it so much. We're going to watch it with
yep.
fans or without. Definitely.
Yep, exactly, man. You know, it's funny. I was just thinking, like, and I'm sure it won't be able to work that way, but, man, I would love to be able to watch the first game, just sit in a beer and watch the game. And my
yeah.
life won't work that way because it's not what I get paid to do anymore, but I'd just love to watch a game just to watch a game again.
Right.
You know?
Definitely, man. The game is missed a lot. Definitely. Kurt, I will definitely speak to you again soon. We're going to do this again soon. I'm not going
to
let too much time.
I look forward to it, man. Let me know.
All right. Thanks a lot. Take care.
Thank you.
All right. Yes, that was Kurt Heelan, NBC writer. Thanks for joining me. Catch you next week.